The Drive is live.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Yeah, it is a little reaction Monday. We don't have a Texans reaction Monday, but it's definitely an NFL, AFC-NFC championship reaction Monday. And by the way, that guy right there had him a day now. Had him a day. He's heading to see if he can't three-peat this thing. But before we get started on that right there, I do want to invite everybody over to download the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download the Odyssey app. And take us everywhere you go. It's that easy, man. Right now, we got a big time, what would you call that, Ron? What's the verbiage? Contest. There you go. Got a big time contest going on. Basically, you download the Odyssey app and you listen to Sports Radio 610 for 60 minutes a day. And every day, you get an entry into a big time contest, and it has to do with the big basketball tournament college basketball tournament. Obviously, it is a trip to Vegas, travel and accommodations for four. You, the winner, and three guests, $5,000 each, which is $20,000 total right there, to fund the ultimate viewing experience for the first two rounds of the college basketball championship, right? Start today. Download the Odyssey app. Listen to Sports Radio 610 for 60 minutes, and you'll get a daily entry. Do it every single day, January 27th through February 23rd. And whoever wins that contest is going to get a big time prize. And by the way, if you already have the Odyssey app downloaded, then just go ahead and chime in. Just make it happen. And we greatly appreciate you listening via that Odyssey app. As usual, you can always, all kind of different features on there. The podcast, all of our podcast segments and shows and segments are on there. And you can listen anytime, anywhere, as long as you've got that Odyssey app downloaded. So we greatly appreciate if you download that right there. Ron, the two big games yesterday, of which obviously the Eagles win big. The Washington Commanders, I think from jump, the very first play of the game, Saquon Barkley goes the distance. They were playing catch up from that point on. I mean, the Eagles were impressive on both sides of the football. They end up winning 55-23. And we talked about the Washington Commanders quarterback, and rightfully so. Jaden Daniels had an unbelievable year. I didn't think I'd ever see a year better than from a rookie quarterback, better than what I saw last year from C.J. Stroud. It took less than a calendar year for it to happen. Jaden Daniels was absolutely tremendous this year. Hated to see it come to an end, but it was impressive on the Philadelphia Eagles front, Ron. And Saquon Barkley's going to get a lot of love. The defense,
as he should,
absolutely. The defense is going to get a lot of love, and Jalen Hurts, the roller coaster ride of love and hate that he's been on over the last season, this is going to be one of them highs, man.
He seemed to play his best game of the year.
I agree.
The most important game.
I agree, but I'm going to tell you, and I had this, you can attest to this, I had this drawn up last week before he actually balled out this week. Jalen Hurts, again, 20 of 28, 248 yards, one touchdown. He also rushed for only 16 yards, but three touchdowns, which were big touchdowns, big time runs. And I'm just the Jalen Hurts slander is, and slander maybe a little bit of a harsh word. The criticism, the doubt, the questioning. maybe some of the most disrespectful stuff that we've seen from a quarterback that all he does is go out there and win.
He can't play.
Now, I understand where it comes from. Don't get me wrong. I understand that Jalen Hurts is not this dynamic elite passer of the football that the league expects every winning quarterback to. And let's be honest, most of the time, it is a dynamic arm that's doing all, has all these highlight reel throws, sidearm and off platform that's ultimately winning games. But the inability for folks that talk the game, particularly on TV, to look at how Hurts has impacted this game and give him just as much love as any of the playoff quarterbacks in terms of responsibility for their team being where they are, Ron, it baffles me. Because it typically tends to be like on the polar opposite of like, hey, man, can the Eagles win with this guy? Hey, man, is he good enough? Hey, can this guy? So I call it slander. I've always been a little bit taken aback by it, but it's when games like this happen that you just go, what in the world is it going to take for this guy to get the love that he deserves? Ultimately, I'll say this, Ron. I think Jalen Hurts, and I'll admit I'm biased. He's from right down the street.
That's good to admit that first.
Yeah, that's fine. But I think when you look at what he brings to the table for this team, he is as much their identity and has to do with their identity and their ability to control a game. I mean, he's an absolute perfect fit. And some of the stuff he does with his legs and or his arm and his decision-making and his leadership, all of that stuff just plays so much into who the Eagles are. And I don't know this for a fact, but I would imagine over the last 3 years, if you look it up, he's probably won more games than anybody not named Pat Mahomes.
Josh is up there. Josh.
Right.
Josh Allen's won a lot of games, but he's probably within that in the last couple of years.
It's just crazy. Bowl, it's crazy, man. And when you talk about like their identity, yesterday it all came to a head, and that is... That's what it looks like when a quarterback or a team is offense is quote unquote playing their best ball, right? His ability. Now Saquon's obviously the superstar, but his ability in the run game to keep the football and keep defenses honest, and his ability when they close the middle of the field to then make big time throws as he did yesterday, multiple big time throws, on the money type throws. Is what this team's all about. And I just couldn't help, Ron, but sit there and watch that game yesterday and go, I understand where the slander, the hate, the doubt comes from because he's not one of these elite passers of the football. I get it. But, boy, in the same sentence, it's like it's just blatantly obvious that he is running the show offensively for that squad. There's
a couple of things with that because I've thought about this a little bit with Jalen. I think, one, so Jalen's very much like Dak. His great attributes are things that are not necessarily things you see on the field, but are extremely important, as you know, at the quarterback position. Not to say he don't have good skills on the field, but it's not like the quarterback sure. he faced yep. or yesterday mm-hmm. or the quarterback that he's going to face in 2 weeks yep. in New Orleans.
It's not like the other $55 million guys around
right, the league. Yeah, it's not. And then the other part is, he showed us his peak. He showed us an MVP level season. And when he's not meeting that,
yep.
and I think there are some issues fair. There with people when he's not, because he was going to win the MVP and then he was in the lead for it. And then he got injured and had to miss 3 games. But that year, like, I think people still see the guy that played in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Like, still think, and he has not risen to that level. You know, again, it has not been playing at that level. So I think the expectations rose up once he showed what he could do. And then his whole demeanor when it's going good is even keel.
Yeah.
But then when it's not, it's how much does he care? I just think it's just a flip thing. But I think those are 3 things to me that I've thought about that why people look at Jalen a little different.
Yeah, the other thing too, Ron, about Jalen that it's a feather in his cap, man. It's so different looking than most guys. But when you you look at the ability to handle Nick Sirianni and some of the things that he's done and not even blink. The ability to have your quarterback coach, your offensive coordinator, really blamed for the problems last year. Brian Johnson, another local product here, he's booted out. Kellen Moore comes in. You handle it with the utmost class and just keep this thing rolling, keep the train on the tracks, and you come out and you do what you did this year. The ability to deal with A.J. Brown and those antics, whatever they are, I think they're bigger than most people want to like. I had somebody the other day, he's reading a book on the sideline. Somebody the other day said, well, if that's what he got to do to play his best, I'm all for it. Come on, man, we're reading a book on the sideline. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here? But nonetheless, like, his ability to deal with that and not let it affect his decision making in the pocket or the play calling from the offensive coordinator. Like, I don't know this for a fact, but I wouldn't be shocked one bit if he's not the, to your point, kind of the level head in the whole group that goes, We'll get him his touches. Don't worry about that. We need to play football. We need to win ball games. We need to keep the focus over here offensively on winning games. And the guy behind me, Saquon Barkley, is going to be the focal point of this offense. Everything else plays off of him. Like, it wouldn't shock me one bit if they didn't say Jalen's the one driving that ship right there.
Absolutely. So the driving part, clearly, yes.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I feel like there's a lot of questions because of the style of play.
And he's also getting a little bit of that Troy Aikman, that he has so much talent around him.
Sure. Yeah.
And it's like he should be doing more with it.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. He's we'll see what he can do. He's got to another Super Bowl. What's that? 2 in 3 years?
It's 2. I don't know. Yeah, it's not bad.
I mean, too bad you're playing somebody that's going for 3 in a row, or it'd be a pretty big conversation.
Two Super Bowls, a second place finish in the MVP.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
The Eagles win 55-23, send Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders home, and they advance to the Super Bowl to face the Kansas City Chiefs. That was the other game, obviously, last night, and that was another classic. 32-29, the Chiefs win. I think my biggest takeaway in this game, Ron, was how in the hell did the Buffalo Bills get away from running Cook so often in the second half? And how did they allow critical plays in drives time and time again to come and go with Cook on the sideline so often? He was clearly the best. And look, Josh was good. Josh was good last night. As you said, there's times he kind of slipped back into that old Josh, wanted to hold the ball, yeah, pat the ball.
Early he was.
He did it a couple times, yeah.
But then after about that, they settled down after the turnover, and yeah, he was every bit of that damn dude.
But Ron, I'm watching that game, and correct me if I'm wrong. We can even throw Josh in there. The best player in a Buffalo Bills uniform last night was Cook.
I think so.
I mean, every time he touched the ball, it was one of those like, man, I mean, hold your breath. He might hit his head on the goalpost. Like he. And to think that the Buffalo Bills in that game, the last drive, they ended up overcoming this with a Josh Allen rush, but the last drive started with an outside toss play to their second string running back, to their backup.
Is that the one he fumbled?
No, but that's the one he tried to cut it back and got stopped for a 3-yard loss or 2-yard loss.
Oh, yeah, 1 yard, yes. He didn't touch it the last. Yeah.
So I'm like, what in the world? And I'm not positive, but I just went back and watched the replays. I don't think he was on the play on the 4th and 10 either. I don't think he was on the field on the 4th and 10 play at the very end of the game.
4th and 5?
Was it 4th and 5?
Yeah.
I don't think he was on the field in that last play either.
Yeah.
I mean, what in the hell? If you're the Buffalo Bills, you've got to be thinking,
The crazy thing is, he wasn't on the field for a lot of those 3rd and 4th and shorts. Any of the tush pushes, he was off the field.
Yeah.
Not even the threat of it.
That's one of those game plan deals where I just don't know how I don't know how you arrive there. Like, it's kind of like with the Texans, which obviously it's two NFL teams doing it, so they obviously do arrive there. I don't know. I couldn't sleep at night. Like, the Texans, now you ended up losing the game, so it's hard to hone in on Dari Agunbowale and be pissed off. But the Texans getting down 2 scores to the Chiefs and being in obvious throw mode the rest of the way, for then Joe Mixon to not be on the field every down at that point in time, for Dari Agunbowale at that point in time to be on the field at all, is borderline criminal.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I don't know how whether it's by plan or if you're just watching that Buffalo-Kansas City game last night, I just don't know how you call a play in the fourth quarter, damn sure on the last drive of the game, without cooking the game.
Well, he touched the ball twice in their first 14 plays. So right off, right, the first drive, he didn't touch it once. Yeah. They were all Josh passes. Like, that was, like, it was the jump. That, from the jump, what Buffalo had become in the second half of the year, they had become a great run team, especially with him. And they went to start the game in a weird way.
Well, but, when, like, they came out at half, Ron, I thought, okay, this is what I expect.
They went in there and talked about it, but they got too late. And then they panicked again once the Chiefs retook the lead.
Yeah.
That was always my thing, is there were so many, and maybe there's a bias for me, and I just saw this, but, I mean, I counted up a good amount of football people who were, like, hey, the Bills had the better team. I'm going with the Bills. And I'm thinking, do y'all think that McDermott and Joe Brady are about to outcoach these guys? Like, and it came down to what happens a lot in Chiefs games, is the Chiefs players made plays and the coaches also made decisions and put them in spots to make plays. And the Spags saved that blitz and never showed it one time. And Josh had open players on the fourth and five.
Yeah.
He had two of them. He had one guy on the other side of the field trying to cover two. His best receiver, Shakur, was wide open. Held Dalton Schultz. I mean, not Dalton Schultz. Sorry, you weren't in that game.
Dalton Kincaid
was open. But that corner blitz caught him completely by surprise, and Spags knew he would drift that way. That's the place he would run there. And put him there, and then the way they finished the game, and Andy didn't just sit there and hand it off. He threw two passes. I still am in my mind trying to understand how they had three timeouts with 1:53, and they got two first downs. It took them to get two first downs. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out, what the hell is going on with this clock?
Yeah, you're right. I'm telling you, Andy Reid was unbelievable. Spags was unbelievable. Andy was in his bag last night. Like, I watched a lot of Chiefs football over time, and you know better than me, but it just seemed like there were, I'm talking quick, easy,
that
right
first
now.
First drive looked like they had a bye week.
The throwing the ocean quick outlets right now, just get the football out. It's absolutely ridiculous how many of those pop up. And I'm going to tell you, I mean, P. Ryan's good for a 20-plus yard gain sometime in a critical moment.
That was the only time he touched
it. I mean, it's just crazy.
I just got to say, man, we're at the 10-yard line. We're going to go DeMar Hamlin one-on-one with Xavier Worthy. All right. Good luck. All right, coming up, still some news here. Ryan Pressly's gone. Ryan Pressly has been traded to the Cubs. One, there's something to unpack there, and then – what does that mean? What is the building block now for Alex Bregman? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
I do want to get to this Ryan Pressly and what this means. He is no longer an Astro. He is going to the Cubs. But Tyler, this according to Sham Sharania, ESPN, who covers the NBA, newsmaker. The Miami Heat are suspending Jimmy Butler indefinitely, sources tell ESPN. This is coming off of his initial 7-game suspension and then a 2-game suspension for not making the team flight.
Good Lord.
Sham's with the story right now, Tyler. Jimmy Butler walked out of Heat shoot-around this morning after being informed the team is planning not to start him tonight.
Jimmy freaking Butler!
So Jimmy said, hell, I'm out.
This job over there with Jimmy Butler, Pat Riley, and company. I mean, it's something.
Jimmy's nuts. like, real talk. I've always thought that Jimmy Butler was like, and I think he's gotten a great reputation of being like a stand-up dude, being like cool. This, and I'll be honest with you, I lost a little. He didn't. I lost a little bit for him because I didn't think the way he handled the Minnesota Timberwolves thing was like that was cool. Like, he went in there and basically just tried to punk Carl Anthony Towns and just take advantage of it. And now, I don't think Anthony Edwards was going to let him, but tried to punk him and Rudy and do stuff to get himself traded from there. But this one here, man, you've been suspended 9 games, and now you at the shoot-around, and they tell you, yeah, you're not going to start. Yeah, jackass, because you've been gone for 9 games. We didn't have to suspend you. What the hell? Oh, I'm not starting? No, I'm done. Now you leave.
I'm ahead to the house.
Now you bounced? you come to the damn shoot-around. You missed this. Jimmy's supposed to be back. You know, after he got suspended 7, then he missed the team flight, then they suspended him 2 more. He came to the shoot-around today. They informed him. Eric Spoelstra said, you ain't going to get to start tonight. He said, oh, the hell with that. Yeah, I'm out.
I get on the jet and go to the house.
Come on. I think this is hurting how people view Jimmy Butler at this point. Like, come on, dude.
I started thinking differently about him when he showed up with that emo haircut to that presser. That was something.
Yeah, and then I figured he was just being stupid. He's just like, I'm about to be real stupid at every one of these haircuts. But you're right. You have to go to a certain place of weirdness to even come up with that.
For sure.
My man hit that shoot around and said, I'm not starting. Like, he walked in there and thought, he just thought this thing was just going to be, just going to pop off like normal.
Oh, my
God. That's like the Texans signing Steve Nelson, and Steve Nelson coming up. Oh, I'm not starting Sunday?
Holy
D'Amico? What? Nick? I'm not starting. That boy is nuts. Damn, Jimmy. Crazy as hell. Oh, that's the latest. Again, I will say this again. Even more. Like, if I'm the Rockets, I am good on that. Like, I'll pass on that. And for me, it was even like, you know, I just think they need something more. I wouldn't break up this thing for Jimmy Butler. But this is, like, he's jumping over the top here.
Yeah, look, I last time we talked about it, I was like, look, the disgruntled players and the organization not moving them, and I can understand, you know, some of the antics. But now, I mean, just showing up whenever you want to show up and expecting to start. I mean, he's gone a little bit overboard at this point in time, I'd say.
He's gone completely overboard. At this point, it was something else. All right, Ryan Pressly. We haven't really unpacked that. Ryan Pressly's gone. And he is now gone to the Cubs. It seemed like this was a real battle for Ryan Pressly, because I don't think he wanted to leave Houston. I think he wanted to play here, and he had that no trade clause, and that was the sticking point here. But he is now going to be gone. So now the Cubs, the Astros have done deals with the Cubs, with both Pressly and Kyle Tucker, two mainstays. Your thoughts here, now that it's official, Ryan Pressly is gone. He is now no longer a Houston Astro after everything he's done.
Well, I mean, look, I'm happy for Ryan Pressly and his family. Clearly, he got the deal that he wanted. The Astros paid, I believe, $5.5 million of the deal to make it all make sense for Chicago. They got a prospect back in return. And Ryan Pressly gets to move on and join Tucker and see what they can do in Chicago. I think that, as I said last time, I thought his time had come and gone here. Unfortunately, in Houston, they clearly were going a different route and preferred a different closer, and were trying to work him into the mix. And then all of a sudden, Brian Abreu comes into play at that spot. So it's crowded right there. It's time for him to move on. And he's one of my favorite Astros. Was absolutely nails in the playoff for us for a long time. One of the best, if not the best, in the playoffs of late. And, good. I mean, gets his money, gets out of Houston, gets to Chicago, and don't have to deal with it anymore. I'm happy for him.
And many people have kind of pushed that thought of, all right, they paid $4 million of the 15, so they still got $8-9 million that they got off the books in this trade. So a lot of people are saying, oh, there's a little extra money for him to be able to maybe spend on somebody else, and that somebody else many people think is Alex Bregman. I'm just curious from you two and the people. You think Alex Bregman comes back under that contract that he was officially offered? like initially offered the 6 years, 156. Do you think Bregman comes back at that deal?
No.
Yeah, I feel like Dana's about to say, I'm in the driver's seat. If you come back here, man, we about to come on down these years.
Oh, well, reportedly the offer's on the table.
That's what they said. It's still on the table. But do you think if he comes back to that?
I mean, that or better. I wouldn't think he would go below that.
I don't know. I do wonder, and I think that's what Ty and Tyler's eyes, that maybe the Astros feel like they're in the driver's seat here. And that they might be in a situation where, hell, I don't know, man. It seems like you're crawling back to us because you know the best time to go and make deals is when you good.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And the Astros are in a spot, and we're already, what's the report? They're in on
Jorge Polanco.
Oh, Jorge, yes. Polanco.
Another veteran infielder, 31 years old. Just in case the Bregman thing falls through. Like, I thought the Bregman thing was, hey, we can make it happen, and Altuve, if it's Bregman, we can make it happen, and Altuve will move the outfield. Now it's like they're looking for another veteran infielder to make it all make sense.
Yeah, but he ain't $156 damn million dollars. I know that much. There's a bit of a difference with those two. Like, It is something else. If I'm Dana, I'm like, hey, bro, yeah, you can come back.
The last time we heard from Dana, he let off his like meeting with the media by saying something to the effect of, yeah, we thought Bregman would be signed by now.
The way Dana's talking, where he says, yeah, it's a long shot if it happened. But the way Dana's talking is like, hey, bro, you crawling back to us. Like, you the one that need options. We good.
You and Scotty Boris.
We got about 2-3 people who can play third base. We got a deal. You need to come back. Well, you say we come back here on that 4-year deal.
Bit awkward. Let's
get down here on a 4-year deal, baby. We already took you from $28 million last year to $26 million. That's what we offering. We'll see. I can see him coming back, but it's hard for me to think the Astros aren't just at least saying, hey, man, let's have a conversation about this offer.
I mean, the greatest negotiators in the world, whether in sports or otherwise, I mean, at this point, that's what you would do.
You
would absolutely do is go back to the table. Let's talk.
But with the exception of Altuve, they are not operating in a place where they need Alex Bregman in their mind. They went ahead and made all the moves that they moved, roll right past him. They had planned, to me it sounds like they had planned to move on life without him until somebody picked up the phone and called them. I don't think they reached out. Somebody picked up the phone and called them. Unless Jose Altuve called them on his behalf and said, hey, this is Dana. This is Dana, man. It was really Jose Altuve. I don't know. This one's gonna be the watch for me. With him, and as you said, they're just speaking out there. Hey, man, you want to keep waiting, man? We got another veteran infielder we're going to look at. Maybe bring him in, too. All right, coming up, I think the Ravens watched yesterday's game, fellas, and said, damn it, we're right there. Damn it, we're right there with those teams. We could play with them dudes. How do you think the Texans felt when they watched that game? When you watched that game, did you think your Houston Texans, like the Ravens, probably feel that they can play with those teams, Buffalo and Kansas City? We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, as we watch Championship Sunday, I said it in the tease. I think there is no doubt, Clinton Tyler, that the Baltimore Ravens watched that game, watch if they could. Marlon Humphrey, I think, made it very clear he didn't have a lot in him to watch football.
But I doubt Mark Andrews is watching much football right now.
God, man, somebody be in prayer with that young man.
He ain't lying, man.
He waited 3 days without speaking clearly, let everyone know he was in a dark place. People still just, I mean, smashed it. But I think the other Ravens watched it. And Brian looked at, like, we can compete with those two teams. We can play with those two teams. Like, we can do that. 713-572-4610. Do you get the sense that your Houston Texans can compete with those two teams that played in the AFC Championship game? Do you think they could play? Someone text in, Texans like the Ravens and Bills will never be able to overcome extreme bias refereeing. Outside of that, the Texans can hang with any team in the league because our defense is championship caliber.
The Chiefs are in bed with the refs.
Now, hopefully the Texans don't have a loser mentality like that and don't let that ride into them and they, you know, and they play ball and focus on a lot of the other issues. But do you think so? After that, outside of that, did you watch that game and feel like the Texans can compete? Because I know Baltimore did. Did you watch it and feel like the Texans can play with those? They're on the level of those teams.
No, I don't. The Texans are in a really good spot, but I just don't think they're on that level. I mean, those guys are ultimately playing chess, and I think the Texans are still playing checkers. They're trying to find an offensive coordinator. They're trying to figure out where their quarterback lands. They're trying to figure out if they can protect the quarterback. They're trying to figure out, the depth pieces to make sure that they have the right people in place. All of this existing on the offensive side of the football. Look, I think defensively the Texans are there, but I mean, you're talking about a team that went out there and threw up 30 on the best defense in football. I mean, you're talking about another team that went out there and threw up 55 in an NFC Championship game. You know, you're talking about teams that overcome getting stopped on fourth down a couple of times and go score 30. You know, that's the Texans just aren't there yet offensively, and I think they've got a long way to go. I think there's a level of physicality with the top teams that the Texans don't have. I think there's a playmakers make plays in the biggest moments that we've not seen the Texans do consistently. And you see, watch both of those teams last night, Josh making plays again, Pat making plays and Worthy making plays last night. I don't think this Texans offense is there yet. I don't think they're there. They're a lot like the Commanders. Go out there and on a big stage like that, you turn the football over two or three times and, whether it's your defense isn't good enough to have your back and get you the football back, or you're not good enough to then come back and score, keep pace with the score of the opponent. The Texans, I think, are probably on the same page with the Commanders. I don't think they're on the same page with the Eagles, the Ravens, for that matter. I don't think they're on the same level as the Chiefs, for damn sure, or Buffalo.
Yeah,
I think I think you made a great point earlier. I think roster wise,
yeah, talent wise, they are.
Yeah, when they're healthy, I think they're
except for the offensive line, but talent wise, yeah.
Yeah, but even on the offensive line, Ron, they, if you got a chance to play, you got some guard perfect. You know, you got your two tackles. If they're playing tackle, are good. You can play with. I think Jarrett Patterson at center was good. I think Juice Scruggs played a good enough guard for you to get by. The problem was you got that guard issue when he wasn't healthy. But I think you're good enough to compete with those guys and be on the same field with those guys and make a run. I think you are. If you're healthy, I think you are, Ron. I mean, we're out here looking for an offensive coordinator. I mean, we're not getting, like last night, Josh Allen got heated up in a critical moment and couldn't convert on a fourth down. I mean, we got heated up on three straight plays and there were free runners. And there's a tight end blocking George Karloftis. Like, I think we're a pretty good ways off offensively from being able to score 30 in a game like that against that caliber opponent.
Yeah, again, like I said, and you alluded to it. Yeah, like we're talent wise, I think they can roll with them. There's some other parts, right? Like them corners, they should be able to feel. The Texans feel like they can roll with any set of corners in the league, right? Their ends, their edge rushers, they feel like they can roll with anybody in the league. Their receivers, when healthy, they feel pretty good about things. Linebackers, when you play Christian Harris, they should feel pretty good about where they are. So talent-wise, but there's just some of the intangible, some of the other stuff. When you're in, like, these games are different, right, from the regular season. These games are heightened and the game plans are different from the regular season. Like, it took too long to figure out, and hell, it never even came about, what kind of an adjustment we're going to make on Travis Kelce. it took too long of like Steve Spagnuolo knowing at any point I can just send blitz packages and they won't be able to pick it up and to change things up. Now, as you said, they're looking for a new coordinator, and I think clearly the move says we feel like that position wasn't a spot that gets us ready to that place. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, they've got talent stuff. It's just the other stuff, like kicking off the game with Boyd, you know, losing his mind to start the game. And now you set yourself up and put yourself in a place where you're chasing the whole way with things like that. All right. Well, you're at least the Texans are in a much closer place right now, I'd say, than the Dallas Cowboys. And Clint, apparently Jerry found his guy. Even I'm surprised that Brian Schottenheimer is the one. Now, this fits the mold of Jerry going out and getting. This feels like the coach you coached that you played under. This feels closer to the Dave Campos, to the Jason Garrett. Like, I mean, this is even a step below, I think, McCarthy. Right, in terms of accomplishments, most definitely it is. But even in the, hey, I can control everything. But the Brian Schottenheimer move, that one, wow.
That one is
interesting to say the least, that that's where Jerry Jones decided to go.
Yeah, look, it's interesting to think that Jerry was being serious when he was talking about potentially keeping McCarthy. Obviously, he was. He ends up keeping his offensive coordinator, which, by the way, that's just a title because McCarthy was calling the plays in Dallas.
Yes.
So you're talking about a guy. Yeah, he's been an offensive coordinator for 2 years, but he's been an offensive coordinator for a play calling head coach.
And let's just say it wasn't like it went spectacularly when he was calling plays himself in previous stops.
Yeah. Well, again, it's to me. You know, I think one thing the Cowboys have been unbelievably undisciplined, and it's bit them in critical moments. You know, not being prepared for situational football has bit them in the biggest moments in the playoffs a couple years ago against the 49ers. It's not like it's been a well-oiled machine. They're talented. CeeDee Lamb is a beast. Dak is really good when he's healthy. But I think the most interesting thing, it doesn't surprise me that Jerry would go this route.
Surprise you? Brian Schottenheimer?
Well, no, it surprises me that the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys is Brian Schottenheimer right now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why when you're the Dallas Cowboys, he doesn't. And I know why, because the truth of the matter is I don't think the top candidates want to coach under Jerry. But even if you take the top guys out of the mix that have a bunch of options, like right now, if you're Jerry, why would you not wait or interview Cliff Kingsbury?
I don't have time to have a bad time.
So many others.
I mean, but it's like he's in your division. You weaken your opponent, right? You guarantee that your money, CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott, you just paid a boatload of money.
Kellen Moore would make more sense. Yeah.
Kellen, again, you weaken your opponent. I mean, yeah.
You
I mean,
know what he can do offensively.
Yeah, I mean, all of that is just, it's to me, if I were Jerry and I were the Dallas Cowboys, I would go hire Nick Saban. I would go hire the biggest name, the baddest dude. I would pay whatever to get him, whoever it may be.
Dion.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, it would be the best coach that money can buy.
It isn't on my schedule.
It clearly is not. And instead, Jerry's out here hiring Schottenheimer. And then... I don't have a problem calling it disrespect. I don't know if y'all heard some of the comments that come from the post-game, the introductory press conference. But, I mean, Jerry, it's just disrespectful. I mean, Jerry, and I'm paraphrasing here, but at some point talks about kind of how the fans may view this as a lesser than glamorous hire. I mean, he talked about how, you know, people want to talk about removing myself from it and making high-risk hires. There's no risk higher than this hire itself. He has no head coach experience. Like, I mean, Jerry's up there, like, just throwing gas on the fire. The what the hell are you doing fire?
Yeah, giving exact reasons why. Oh. Like, why the hell did you do this?
Yeah, the fans are sitting there, I mean, literally going, yeah, I agree. Why are you saying what you're saying right now, Jerry?
Why are
you're,
you doing
you're beating
this?
Your chest about taking a risk by hiring a guy that's never been a head coach.
There is nothing about Brian Schottenheimer that says head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
There it was. Glory hole.
Shoddy. Shoddy, baby.
Like, I just, like, if I'm, like, Micah Parsons on the, man, let me get to hell. I'm, like, and I know he's nuts, too, so maybe he loves it. But, like, hey, I just.
Dak was down there at the presser, man. Dak was all grinning, man.
Yeah, I'm sure he had it.
All smiles, baby.
Yeah, you know, I guess he's just accepting it. I don't know. Maybe Brian Schottenheimer is the next one.
Maybe 60 million. I'd be sitting down there smiling like a outhouse rat too.
Maybe he's the next guy that we ain't know. Maybe Brian Schottenheimer. I just don't know. He sat there with all the, like, who all did he interview? Because I don't even think he officially interviewed Deion. I think they had a talk. Who all did he interview?
Well, I don't know who all he interviewed, but I do know that he's catching a lot of heat about the process. I mean, that's one of the biggest things is like, what the hell? Like shed a little bit of light on your process and who all you interviewed. And I think he's catching a lot of hell about it.
Yeah, it's just like.
Understandably so.
Yes. I mean, listen, the Bears and the Jets, I think they made good hires. You know, at least hires that are like, hey, if it doesn't work, hey, man, it's not like you try with Aaron Glenn and Brian Johnson. But those them jokers, hell, they interviewed 16 people apiece. Hell, I think Bobby Slowick might have made more sense than Brian Schottenheimer. All right. I don't know how y'all feel about Bob. Damn, Bob. All right. Bobby Slowick is one move that has been made in the organization, and we'll see what the Texans do to fill that one. They have filled another position. We'll give you the latest on that, and not to mention what happened over the weekend. The players that really stepped up over this weekend we'll look at, as well as other moves happening in the NFL. We'll discuss all of that coming up next.